This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning and welcome to worship at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Forest City, Iowa. Today's radio broadcast on KIOW 107.3 FM, and the altar flowers today are given in memory of Bruce Johns from Wayne and Karen Johns. Today's radio service will be a pre-recorded radio service as we are outside at the pond, and we had a nice service out there today as well as a nice potluck, so thank you for everybody that was able to help out with that. Hopefully you'll be able to join us outside next year when we do this once again. Few announcements I want to highlight for you this morning. We're still looking for a new coordinator for youth ministry, so if you know of somebody that might be interested in that, please have them get a hold of us at the church office. Also, photo directory appointments are beginning for Emmanuel here in Forest City, and that began today to sign up physically. Otherwise, you can begin signing up online on our website, emmanuelfamily.com. Just click on that image, and we'll be getting, I think at 9 a.m. tomorrow is when that opens up. Coming up on September 1st, we're going to be outside with our Methodist neighbors at a 10 a.m. service, and that is Labor Day weekend, so hopefully you'll be able to join us with that. The Waldorf Block Party will be taking place on Thursday, August 29th from 5:30 to 7 p.m., so please welcome those returning or for the first time to Waldorf as we have fun at that block party. It's always a good time to be had there. Also looking for some hands that like to paint. Anybody that likes to paint outsides. The exterior of the parsonage will be painted on September 7th, and that'll be kind of an all-day event. So if you feel interested in all in that, please get a hold of the church office so we can put your name down and can count you in with that. Also today, please come on, stop by the Forest City Mansion Museum. We're having some free admission to celebrate Harlan Rodberg's 75th birthday from 1 to 4 p.m. there. It's a free event courtesy of his family, and there's going to be treats and all sorts of things, so come and check that out. ELCA Churchwide Assembly is August 5th through 10th, so that's this upcoming week, and we invite you to pray for whoever it is that will be called to be the bishop, presiding bishop, and secretary of the ELCA. There'll be people attending, including Pastor Rod, so please pray for the delegates and for everything that's going to be taking place there. Also want to take special note in your prayers to pray for Reverend Lorna Hallis, who was elected to be the bishop of the Western Iowa Synod. She'll be installed as the bishop on Saturday, August 17th in Sioux City, Iowa. So please keep the bishop team and the synod in your prayers as the transition continues. Those are all the announcements I have for you this morning. So please join us in worship and prepare our hearts. We worship together as always in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us confess our sins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Seeking reconciliation with God and neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism and confess our sin. Please take a moment to reflect on those things that you would like to give to God this day to confess and be forgiven for. God of mercy, we confess that we've sinned against you, against one another, and against the earth entrusted to our care. We're worried and distracted by many things, and we fail to love you above all else. We store up treasures for ourselves and turn away from our neighbors in need. Forgive us that we may live in the freedom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When we were laid low by sin and guilt, God made us alive together with Christ, forgiving us all of our trespasses by taking our sins to the cross. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Rejoice in this good news. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Benevolent God, you're the source, the guide, and the goal of our lives. Teach us to love what is worth loving, reject what is offensive to you, and to treasure what is precious in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our first reading for today comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and chapter 2, as we begin with verse 2 of chapter 1. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that's done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God's laid on mankind. I've seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I've toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them for the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish. Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I've poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, but they must leave it all to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which we labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for today is Psalm 49, verses 1 through 12. Hear this, all you peoples. Listen, all who live in this world, both low and high, rich and poor alike. My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The meditation of my heart will give you understanding. It will turn my ear to a proverb. With a harp I will expound my riddle. Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me, whose trust is in their wealth and boast of their great riches? No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for life is costly. No payment's ever enough, so that they should live or forever and not see decay. For all can see that the wise die, that the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their homes forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The second reading for today comes from Colossians chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, when you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God's coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices, and have put it on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there's no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and is in all. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. And the Holy Gospel for today comes from Luke, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Now somebody in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greeds. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And then he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I've no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You've plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will have all what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, those are some interesting texts, if you ask me. Seems like there's lots and lots of twists and turns in these texts. You go one way with this, then it yanks you back the other way, then another one yanks you this way, then it's this way. It's kind of like being put in a ping pong. And unfortunately, it brought up a lot more questions than answers, and it seems like that's what the text does sometimes. And this week's no different. Almost all of these texts seem to bring up more questions for me than answers. And today's parable made me wrestle a bit. Before you think I'm going to be calling out anybody about their possessions or something like that, you know the old saying, when you point at somebody, there's about three fingers pointing back, maybe even four pointing back at you. I think that's true with this too. I could point out that way, but they're pointing back at me too. Today's parable made me wrestle. This week's text made me wrestle. Because you know what? I've got stuff. I sure do. I have possessions. But it really made me start thinking, what's it good for? What's it do? What are this stuff that I have, what's it do? But not only that, maybe what's the point? What's the point of all of this? And it's hard to give an answer to that. It is. Because Ecclesiastes made me wrestle this week too. I don't really have a good answer for the parable for this week. Maybe you do. And Ecclesiastes, that made me wrestle like crazy too this week. And there's a common theme going on between the gospel, especially Ecclesiastes, and then it kind of gets cleared up in the Colossians text. But there's a common theme, and it's one we get stuck on. We get stuck on it very often. And that common theme is I. And it's one that I got trapped in this week too. That one little word. I. I shows up a lot in these texts. Share with me. Tell him. Jesus, tell him. Tell my brother to share with me. I will do this. I will. I will. I will do this. I will pull down the barns and build bigger ones. I will store up the grains of goods. I will say to my soul, hey, soul, you got a lot of things. You got ample goods laid up for many years. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. I have this. I can do this. And soul, you've done good. But you know, the tricky thing is this. We can feel guilty. And I think we do. I, for one, do when I think about everything I have right now in my own home. And I can feel guilty about those possessions. But when you're feeling guilty, it's about I, too, at times. It's about that one word, I, because it's very personal. Enough is enough. Why do we do what we do? For the I. Why do we do what we do for I? You know, enough is never enough. It really doesn't seem like it. We can fall into that trap very often. And it becomes true that enough is never enough. So why do we do what we do? For that one little word, I. And unfortunately, that means we're kind of vain. kind of about ourselves, aren't we? We ask, as a result of all that, knowing that this is true, knowing that the eye has a lot of control in our lives. You don't have to go much further than to read some of these texts to ask, well, what's the point of it all? What is it? What is it? Because vanity means another thing, too. And this week, for you radio listeners, I was reading from the NIV, but the NRSV translates that word meaningless as vanity from Ecclesiastes chapter 1. But vanity also means worthless and meaningless. That word that was used in the New International Version translation. Meaningless. So Ecclesiastes is asking, is it all worthless? What's the point? And that makes you feel down a little bit too, doesn't it? Because we know that there's that trouble in our own lives. But there's so much going on. So many questions revolving around that one little word, I, and yourself. Who's going to get my stuff? Who benefits from what I do? What do I get from all my work? Nothing? Nothing at all? You mean to tell me it's worthless? It's meaningless? Okay, so if it's meaningless, what on earth is the point? What in the world's the point? Where can we find meaning outside of ourselves? What is the point of it all? And that's what I'm found going in circles on with Ecclesiastes and all of that. And it highlighting at the very end, this too is meaningless. All this anxious striving, all the things that we've done under the sun, all of this is meaningless? Is it? And if it is, where are we going to find meaning? Or perhaps a better question is, why do we find fulfillment in what we do? Specifically when we help others. Specifically when those things that we do aren't about the I. When we store up treasures in heaven. What's the point? What is it all? Well, Colossians tells us to stop looking down. Stop. Stop looking at the things of the earth. Stop looking down. Stop looking at the earthly things and look up. Look up. Up, up, up. Look up. Set your minds on things above, not on earth. Meaning, worth. It doesn't come from earth. It comes from God. It comes when it's not all about the one little word, I. That's where meaning and worth comes from at times. When it's about me, when it's about that one little word, I, it seems to be nothing. It seems like we are trapped forever in that Ecclesiastes text. Is it worth? What's the point? What is it? But instead, when you look up, instead of looking at earthly things, look at heavenly things, a couple things happen. You put to death that earthly focus and realized when the eye's gone, when you put the I alone thoughts to death, when you stop worrying about those things and you put on that new self renewed in Jesus Christ, there is truly meaning, truly worth, truly salvation, truly grace, truly forgiveness of sins. But it's not through that one little word, I. Instead, it comes from two words, the I am, Jesus Christ. when we do what we do with what we have, and it's not about I, but about God's calling, about the great I am. That's what rich, you know, that's what rich towards God looks like. When it's towards God and God's calling. Because Christ is all and is in all. And through Christ alone, through something from someone that isn't from earth, but instead isn't from down, but from up above, is from up above, there's no longer anything that separates. No longer specific groups, no longer Gentile or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, slave, free. It's all Christ. There is no I. Only the I am. So what's next? What's next? Listen. Listen to God. What is God calling you to do with the things you've been given, been graced with? I can't tell you what to do. But instead of making it about the I, what I can tell you is make it for the I am, Jesus Christ. And through that, one person alone, through God alone, through Christ alone, is there meaningfulness, and worth. Thanks be to God for sending Christ, who is all and is in all. Amen.
Having heard the gospel proclaimed in our midst, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Treasuring your promise to hear us when we call, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of your creation. Your people struggle with the weariness and toil of living in a broken world. Work through your church to restore justice and mercy, and send rest and comfort to all who are bowed down, trusting in God, our abundant provider. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Your creation longs for generous care. Give growth to the fields, strength to the farmers, ranchers, and laborers who toil in summer's heat, and wisdom to know and respect earth's bounty. Trusting in God, our loving Creator, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Your world reflects your image in billions of unique ways. Touch every life, low and high, rich and poor. Sway every heart towards your merciful will. Trusting in God, our sovereign, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Your people in this congregation praise you and pray for your almighty help. Comfort those who suffer from anxiety, depression, or stress. Provide for those in need, especially those in our own congregation with special needs to stay, including Heather, Sonia, Melissa, Duane, Betty, Clara, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Maguinas, and missionary Karen. Trusting in God, our purpose and goal, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Your communities near and far lack basic resources. Supply work, food, and health care for all who are in need. Bring relief to those who are overworked. Trusting in God, our help, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Your saints who have died now rest in your merciful care. Comfort us in faith and love as we continue our labor on earth. Trusting in God who gives life to the dead. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. And we give to you now all those things that are on our hearts and minds and things we want to pray for this day, either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. All these things and whatever we ask in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we give to you today and always. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, for the greening earth given for all, for the talents we are given to share, and for this bread and wine. Transform us to be the body of Christ, that feasting on this food and drink, our lives may reflect your generosity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive this blessing. Live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving. And the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you, and remain with you forever. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is sending you. Thanks be to God. And this concludes our worship service this week at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Forest City. We thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll tune in again next week or come and see us anytime. We hope this was a blessing to you, and pray for blessings to you today and always.